This is the StorageReview.com podcast, and I'm Brian Beeler. Today I talk with Boaz Palgi, who's one of the founders of Scale.io and currently heads the group as the VP and GM in the Dell EMC combined entity. Boaz and his team in Israel have been working on Scale.io for a long time, 6+ years now. And in 2013, they were acquired by EMC. And of course, recently, that group was acquired by Dell. Scale.io is one of the really exciting systems that we've played with. I say systems, it's software, but it can be consumed in a variety of different ways. In our lab, it was one of the most exciting things we saw in 2016, and actually is what drove us to start our Editor's Choice Award program. Scale.io offers a wide range of deployment models while maintaining a fantastic performance profile. In today's interview, I talk with Boaz about all of the history of Scale.io, what they're trying to solve, how they're going to market, and even at the end, talk a little bit about what's coming later this year from Scale.io that customers and those curious will find interesting. So without further delay, here's Boaz. On the podcast today, we've got Boaz Palgi from Scale.io. He's VP and GM at Scale.io. He was also a founder. Boaz, thanks for joining us today.
Good morning.
So you started, your team started Scale.io many years ago, and you went after the software-defined data center back in the days when that was a very new concept. Tell us a little bit about why Scale.io started and the problem you set out to address.
Okay, so my team and me have been working together in the data storage industry for something like 15 plus years. And we've been involved in development of both products in startup companies and in incumbent storage companies during that period and taking those products to market. What we saw around 2010 was that there were a few significant shifts in the market and in the IT technology that kind of made the concept of Scale.io suddenly not only possible but also desired. The first one was that we identified a very significant shift from small and medium-sized data centers that used to be sprawled all over organizations, companies having tens or even hundreds of local data centers. And we saw the consolidation of such data centers into a very small number of very large mega data centers running hundreds of thousands or even millions of servers. So that was one big change that we saw from relatively small scale environments to very large scale environments. The second thing was the move to commodity hardware becoming more prevalent. Now, at that time, it was mostly with the web scale companies. People just started to realize that companies like Google and others are actually running much larger infrastructures with much higher SLAs than actually some of the high-end enterprise data centers were running. And they were running it just using commodity components or commodity servers. And so this was a big shift again from the perceived need at that time that hardware needs to be proprietary and dedicated and with a big stamp of the large vendors. The third thing that happened at the time was that there was a very significant understanding in the market that the trend of ever larger siloed arrays for storage cannot continue both from a management perspective, but also from a budget perspective. So some of the larger accounts were literally spending hundreds of millions of dollars a year on procuring storage arrays. And when extrapolating those numbers forward, these numbers were expected to grow so much that they were becoming really unacceptable to the viability of those activities in banks and insurance companies and so forth. And the last most important thing was that the whole original reason why storage arrays even grew, which was that 30 years ago, the average application server had just enough resources in terms of CPU and memory to run a single application. And therefore, you could not do anything like Scale.io because there was just not enough CPU or memory to run it. And so the workaround that people did was take another server, fill it up with disks, and run another single application on that other server, which happened to be a storage server then. And so that storage server ran a single application because that was all that the server resources could handle. And that application was manage the disks and manage the storage and do some advanced functionality around it. Now, in 2010, even the cheapest server that rolled off the production line had ample resources in terms of CPU, memory, network bandwidth, the ability to run any type of media, whether it's flash or magnetic, in the server. And so the original reason why people were actually willing to deal with the pain of having HBA cards and SAN fabric and storage arrays that were siloed and then sprawling across the data center, and dedicated storage teams that had to learn how to run each individual vendor's set of products in a slightly different manner, and so forth and so forth. All those operational overheads were really not justified anymore, since the original reason for having a dedicated storage array, i.e. the lack of resources, was not true anymore. Servers had already more than enough resources at that time, running multiple virtual machines and each virtual machine running tens or more applications and so forth. So our view was, since that, even though the storage market, the same storage market, was many tens of billions of dollars, whatever, $40 or $50 billion market, that entire market was a workaround for something that didn't need a workaround anymore. And so all of that together kind of made it possible to say, okay, if we can build a software that can deal with all the challenges of running together with the applications on the same servers, providing enterprise-grade performance and enterprise-grade robustness, and as you know, very high performance, then actually it's enough to just have the software. You don't need to be locked in to a certain hardware anymore. And so that's what we decided to do with Scale.io.
So you took a software package, commodity hardware, and went to EMC that's, at the time in 2013 when you sold, was pretty much a hardware company running all of these dedicated systems that you were trying to unseat. It's a little bit funny to compare your attitude about life and EMC's at the time, although you could say that EMC was forward thinking and shared your vision for the future. You and the team are still there 4 years later, so that must be true. There must be a good synergy there, which isn't always the case when it comes to large acquisitions like these.
Yeah, that's correct. So actually, the way that we ended up with EMC was funny, because we were still in full motion of building out the company. We were signing up customers. We had quite a few customers in production in 2013. and we were just starting to scale the company. When we came to a situation that it made sense to sell to EMC, and as you say, it's correct that Scalar must have been one of the most disruptive acquisitions that EMC has made. At least, yeah, I think maybe the most disruptive acquisition. But at the same time, EMC's management clearly understood where the market is going and understood that what we are doing makes a lot of technological and economic sense. And so, indeed, it's been so far so good. We are growing the business year over year with very impressive growth numbers on all fronts, and we are still very, very far from reaching our potential.
So I think when we think about the software-defined storage and some of the concepts that you're talking about rethinking how a data center operates, what's really important, how do these systems connect, that we form certain ideas in our head. For me personally, when this we were tracking Scale.io early on before the acquisition, I had really thought about it as a capacity play, as a way to bring a lot of storage to bear in these large data centers that not necessarily from a performance perspective, but bringing more capacity online in a way that was easy to manage. That may have been a use case, but in the announcement when EMC made the acquisition, their focus, even in 2013, was entirely on flash enablement, flash consumption, performance story, and an architecture that can take whatever you throw at it because it's engineered as such. When you think about the way you're talking with customers and prospects, are you having to do a lot of education still on what this methodology is like and how it's different to dispel some of these misconceptions, or are they starting to understand by now what Scale.io is and what the prospect of a more software-defined data center looks like?
Well, I guess the answer is it depends. So it depends on who the customer or the prospect is. So today, 6 years into the company, we see some of the world's most conservative organizations, like very leading banks, telcos, and so forth, completely standardizing their entire block storage estate on Scale.io, explicitly stating that anything that can go onto Scale.io will go onto Scale.io and not onto any traditional arrays. And that is because those customers have been running Scale.io and are seeing that this is a true enterprise-grade product in terms of functionality, in terms of robustness and resilience, in terms of scalability, and of course, in terms of performance as well. However, as you said, there are still also a lot of prospects where we need to explain that even though Scale.io is software, this is reality. You don't need to get a dedicated array to get a build like a tank robust enterprise storage array. In the end of the enterprise storage system, sorry. In the end of the day, a storage array is also built from commodity hardware and software. It's just put together by the vendor and then sold as a package. None of that guarantees that software is more robust than the Scale.io software running on commodity hardware that customers happily use to run their most business-critical applications and databases and so forth. So if you look at it from that perspective, yeah, some customers completely understand it, and not just understand it, just execute on this vision and made the move already 2 or 3 years ago to completely transform the way they run their data centers and benefiting from the operational advantages of running standardized, commodity-based, simplified data center infrastructures. And on the other end, yes, we are still in a growing market, and we are still in a situation that we still need to educate and teach a lot of other people about what we are doing and why this is beneficial. The big difference with 6 years ago is that today we can point to hundreds of very large accounts as reference customers that are running the product for several years now in production. Some of these accounts running 20 or 30 or even 40 petabytes of production data on Scale.io. And so that's very different than 6 years ago when we, or 7 years ago when we just started out, and a lot of people were just kicking us out the door the moment we mentioned that you can run storage on some commodity servers.
Well, yeah, I think that's an interesting point, right? Because some of the software-defined products have been slower to grow because it's difficult to walk into an enterprise account and say, you know, hey, we're just software, throw it on whatever you want. I think that concept was interesting to some accounts because, you know, they could toy around with it. But ultimately, the guys that we talk to, they don't necessarily want to do that. They may not have the teams with the skill set to do that. You know, clearly some do. And you mentioned some of the consumption models. I want to hit on that now. You can buy a software license if you've got the skills to do it and put it to work in your own environment. But you also have hardware node packages, and I'm sure there's plenty of engineered solution type things available as well. Am I missing anything? How are you seeing the consumption take place of Scale.io today?
No, absolutely. We have various consumption models, and they each fit a different customer profile. So, as you said, some customers buy the software from us, put it on their existing servers, or buy new servers from any vendor of their choice. And they really build out their own infrastructure based on Scale.io and whatever bare metal operating system and or hypervisors and or apps and databases they want to run on those servers. I would say there is a continuum to the other extreme, where we are providing something that we call Scale.io nodes, which are bundled offerings where you can buy Dell server hardware with Scale.io and the hypervisor and the MNO layer pre-installed. And you just plug in the network and the power cables and off you go. And then in between those two deployment models, we also have the engineered systems where customers offer get systems that are pre-engineered and then delivered on a custom almost custom base to the customer.
So of your deployments that you're seeing now, are you mostly flash, largely flash, half and half with disk? What are you seeing in terms of storage technologies?
We see more and more all flash environments, but we still see a lot of magnetic disk, and we also see a lot of magnetic disk with either smaller flash tiers as separate storage tiers or as caching tiers in front of the magnetic. I think that, again, it depends on the environment, but the market seems to be moving more and more to flash. From the Scale.io perspective, we are agnostic. So the customer buys the software, and we don't prescribe what media it needs to run there or in what format to run that, to use the media mix. This is something that is completely elastic as well. And the customer can even start running on an environment that is magnetic only, and over time move to flash. And anything that you do with Scale.io is completely non-disruptive and elastic. So there is nothing that you are not locked in to the decisions that you take today for the next 3 or 4 years. But to the contrary, you run the software, and on top of the software, you run all your data and your services and so forth. And below the software, you put whatever hardware you want of your choice, whether it's server vendors, server models, or media of your choice.
Well, I think that also gives you an interesting advantage as we look at emerging technologies. There's all the rage over NVMe and some of the work that Intel and Micron are doing around next generation flash, be it Crosspoint or whatever else is coming, NVDIMMs and servers. All of those things give you guys, I guess, something exciting to look at in terms of how to get even more performance out of these individual boxes. We know from our testing that they're high performing already, especially in the four node 2U all flash boxes that we looked at. But what about the emerging technology from a hardware perspective is exciting to you?
So we are very excited about the NVDIMM. NVDIMM is becoming standard on servers later this year, and we are already doing work leveraging that in part of our development activities for future versions. NVMe is something that that we are completely agnostic to. So if it will take off, Scale.io will work with it out of the box. We don't need to do anything special for that. But time will tell. In that context, we are definitely following all those developments. And again, from our perspective, the way that we build the architecture from day one is that we can either accept, adopt those type of new technologies as is with the software without any modifications, or we can add capabilities by leveraging some of the great new features that are being made possible by, for example, NVDIMM type of developments.
That's interesting. I want to go back to another concept that's important to Scale.io as well, though, that you talked about just a minute ago, and that was some of the and/or you were working through, which, you know, inherently I would describe as flexibility in the system. And in our testing, we worked the systems both in a hyperconverged mode, but also in a more traditional two-layer architecture as well. Scale.io is very, very flexible, as you noted. Is that flexibility, clearly it's a benefit, but is all of that flexibility and all the different things Scale.io can do also a challenge in terms of getting a concise message out to the market when you talk about what Scale.io does and how it does so?
Well, maybe. I think that it is our job as a product developer and technology developer to provide a platform that is enabling our customers to achieve their goals of delivering robust, scalable, high-performance, flexible storage environments to their customers, whether they're internal or external. And as you said earlier on, customers that have the in-house capabilities to build their infrastructure themselves can just take the software and define their own deployment methodology or model that best fit their needs. And customers that are less comfortable with that can buy ready-to-go Scale.io nodes, which are plug-and-play offerings that once you turn them on and connect them to the network, even do automatic discovery of the other nodes in the system and configure everything into the cluster and just let you start working straight away. You can get a scalar environment up and running in an hour, less even, without having to think through all the various alternatives that the product enables. So, data centers differ, and data center operators and engineering managers differ. And I think it's important to build a platform that is ready to be able to adapt to developments going into the future, and that requires this flexibility. And we can productize that platform into a bundled and packaged, ready-to-go packages, solutions for customers that just want to be able to plug in and get going. By the way, what we see, especially in the larger environments as well, is that this is not all just a technology question. There is also a lot of organizational challenges to be dealt with. So for 20 or 30 years, organizations have been running their IT organizations usually with three main teams, namely server teams, network teams, and storage teams. So even though the technology allows you to run in what is called today a hyper-converged infrastructure deployment model, some customers are just not comfortable to do that from an organizational perspective, because then they need to deal with questions like, okay, so who owns the hardware? Is it the storage guy or the server guy? So they need more time to be able to move, for example, from a multi-layer infrastructure to a single-layer converged infrastructure. So the beauty of Scaleio there again is that we enable such organizations to just start off with a two-layer approach where commodity servers are running applications and other commodity servers are running the Scaleio storage. And then over time, as the customer organization adopts to the concepts of hyperconvergence, et cetera, so can they add more applications to the original storage layer or more storage capabilities to the original application layer and end up over time with two hyperconverged layers that then become even a converged single layer. So, you
There's a
see?
lot there. I mean, I think that's one of the coolest things about the platform is that scenario that you just described is something that's possible, whereas in traditional IT, it's not. You get stuck in the doing things the same way as they've always been done. Listening to you talk though, you talk about a lot of these big data centers and large enterprise re-architecting and thinking about things differently and leveraging Scale.io to do that. And I know that you guys really do scale up and do, what is it, 1,000 nodes in a group, and you can manage multiple groups and do all of this. Our testing was done on a more traditional 4-node cluster, two of them little 2U boxes. I just want to make sure that we all understand that Scaleio is not just a mega data center product. You can still deploy it in a small solution too. And I imagine as part of your POC process, that's normally how it starts, where someone will start with a 4 or 8 or 12 node group and then grow from there. Are you seeing adoption also at that small cluster size as well?
Yes, that's a very good point. So I'm indeed used to point out the large scale environments because of our view that over time that's where the market will end up. But we have many, many, many small and medium sized customers that are starting off with just 3 or 4 node environments. And some of them have been running four node environments already for 4 or 5 years now, from the early days of Scale.io. So we also see a lot of customers that, especially on the side, that buy the bundled Scale.io nodes type of appliances. These are really customers that want a small environment that is 3, 4 nodes, sometimes 8, as you said, 8 or 10 or 12 nodes. And absolutely, Scale.io, and as you saw yourself in your testing as well, Scale.io works perfectly from 3 or 4 nodes. And then if you grow, you can seamlessly expand your environment on the fly. If you don't, you have a very robust, small environment with very high performance, enterprise-grade functionality and robustness.
Yeah, I think one of the things that was most interesting in our experience was that we filled in certain tests the platform to capacity. I think we were at 99%+ used and still saw excellent performance. And one of the things that we see traditionally with software-defined architectures is that there's a lot of weight on the software. And whether it's, you know, they're running all sorts of data services or you know, managing a lot of metadata or whatever it is, there's normally a pretty substantial hit where you can't get all the performance that the system's capable of because there's too much going on. And we didn't see that with Scale.io. And in fact, as you know, saw great performance that resonated pretty well. We've got somewhere close to 150,000 reads on all of those articles that we put out in both hyperconverged and two-layer. The performance was consistent and very good across the entire thing. As you think about where you go from here, we've talked about the nodes a little bit. Clearly, Dell acquired EMC along the way and has a server platform in PowerEdge and also in their DSS group that are really great leading edge servers, and that gives you some opportunities, like you said, from the bundling perspective. And Dell's normally on the front end of adopting new technologies for the servers, so a lot of great platforms there, which has got to be exciting for you guys, even though you're software guys, but to couple up with the hardware and put some neat things to work. How has it been adjusting to the Dell guys and having access to all that hardware engineering?
Well, as you said, it's very exciting. Dell servers really expand our ability to bundle, to productize appliance type offerings that are and plug and play type offerings that can then be consumed even in the near future by ordering the product online and just plug it in and start working. So it's on that respect, on that side, it's very exciting. It's a new type of go to market for us that we are not just partnering with a server vendor, but we are actually part of the server vendor organization themselves. And this offers a lot of new opportunities that that I'm sure you will hear more about in the not too distant future as well.
Well, speaking about the not too distant future, we've got no attorneys, no PR reps, and no product marketing guys on the line with us, so we can just talk honestly and openly here. as you
yeah, think, they're not going to listen to this.
No, hopefully. they won't listen. They'll stop after the first 5 minutes, I'm sure. As we look about the future of Scale.io, let's wrap this up with just a little bit of vision for what your customers can expect and what you guys are working hard at on the software side to enable new features, more performance. I mean, what are you guys churning on over there?
So we are still executing on the roadmap that we envisioned when we started, maybe with a few modifications here and there. But our long-term vision is enabling data centers that are entirely based on commodity hardware, single layers infrastructure that are simple, eliminating any of the complexities and interoperability issues that, that we've gotten used to over the past few decades, and that are in a very elastic manner enable customers to grow and to add their services in the easiest and operationally most intuitive and simple way possible. From a scale-up perspective, from a platform slash technology perspective, what this means is that we will continue to push forward on maintaining our edge in terms of being the most scalable, most elastic, highest performance, robust product that is agnostic to the underlying media and hardware, that enables customers to benefit from the new capabilities that are being brought to market now and in the future in terms of those hardware and media developments going forward. One of the things that we are planning to release later this year is an entire layer of an entire capability of space efficiency. So as you know, today we don't have space efficiency in Scale.io as a feature by itself. Having said that, most of our competitors need to run with three copies, while Scale.io runs with two copies. So we already offer 50% or 33%, depending from which side you calculate, less capacity needs to get the same robustness. But having said that, because we see flash becoming the mainstream in the data center, we are adding space efficiency capabilities like compression and fine granularity snapshots and fine granularity thin provisioning to the system. And this will be GA'd later this year. And what this means is that customers will be able to completely non-disruptively move data volumes from performance optimized to capacity optimized pools back and forth, dependent whenever they want to. And because we are building this these space efficiency capabilities into Scale.io, leveraging our existing scale out architecture and concepts. Obviously, we are making some additional modifications in terms of layout, address granularity, etc. But the main concepts of Scale.io are also leveraged in this set of capabilities, which means that even though we will deliver space efficiency, this will still not very much degrade the high performance that you are used to from Scale.io, or the scalability capabilities that you are used to from Scale.io, or the elasticity slash flexibility capabilities.
Well, I'm glad you're looking at it that way, because data reduction is the dirty little secret of storage, in that, yeah, it's really neat. It enables more flash adoption and changes the metrics around from a TCO perspective. But so often we see those technologies applied and see a massive hit. So where I was just complimenting you on the efficiency of the software, you know, I know you're keeping that in mind with as you add new features, and keeping it lightweight is critical. So I, from a testing standpoint and from a performance standpoint, you know, we view that as imminently critical. I'm glad to hear you do as well.
Absolutely.
Well, this has been a great conversation. Certainly appreciate your time, and we're looking forward to continuing to follow Scale.io's progress, to working with the new versions of hardware and software combinations that come out. And it's been a great experience for us. The readership really appreciated the review sequence that we did. And thanks again for the time today, Boaz. Appreciate it.
Yes, and thank you very much.
I want to thank Boaz again for participating in the podcast. Scale.io has been a really neat product for us to look at in terms of performance and capabilities. And sometimes I think it gets so flexible in the way you can deploy it and the applications that it works with that it's good to talk with these guys about how they envision it, how they're seeing customers put this thing to work, and help listeners get some ideas about how it might work in their environment. We're enthusiastically looking forward to taking Scale.io through its paces again soon. We've got a couple projects in the works and can't wait to get it back in the lab. Keep up to date with what we're doing at Storage Review by following us on Twitter at Storage Review. Hit us up at storagereview.com and search for Scale.io, all one word, to see the review sequence that we've done. A lot of great information there to check out. Thanks for listening.